welcome back to our roundup. I trust you had a fruitful time of discussion. Right, shall we have our roundup? Okay, the first question concerns listening. Why do some people struggle with listening to others before responding? What may make it difficult for us to listen before we speak? And how can we cultivate a ready ear to listen before we speak? Now, the Bible exhorts us to not to be too hasty to answer a matter before hearing it. That's in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. The Bible says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." So be ready to hear, right? Listen and understand before you provide an answer. But what may be some of the struggles? I think one common struggle or one source of this struggle is pride. And pride can express itself in and present itself in different ways. It may be pride that causes you to think that you already know the answer, or you know what the person is going to say in different contexts, especially sometimes in an argument, right? You feel as if you are playing chess. And so you need to prepare like a response or an answer before the person even says something. And so you might feel that you want to, you know, like answer that person, and so you start to anticipate what the other person may be saying. So pride could be one of the reasons why we think that we already know what the other person is saying. We assume, and we think that we are very wise, or know my answer is the best answer, even despite not hearing and not understanding what the other person may really be feeling or thinking. It could also simply be impatience, where we are in a hurry. Sometimes that hurry may not be because we have to attend to something, but maybe we feel that the person is sharing, and he's sharing in such a long-winded manner, and then out of that impatience, which really is also a kind of selfishness. We are just not ready and willing to listen. So you realize that whether pride or impatience, this all stems from selfishness. Right? We are thinking upon ourselves, maybe we are thinking upon our own time, we are thinking about our own perspective, right? Trying to just only consider things from our perspective rather than to consider what a person may be feeling or experiencing, or trying to show that compassion towards that person. Okay? So this could be some of the struggles that lead us to not listen before we speak. And the Bible says that if we answer a matter before we even hear it, it is folly and shame unto him. Have you ever tried to complete a person's sentence? Right? Let's say a person starts saying something and expressing something, and then you thought that he knows it. You know what the person is saying, and then you complete the sentence, then actually the person says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Do you not realize that it is now a folly and shame to you? Right? So instead of interrupting a person, let a person finish sharing or expressing himself. So how can we then cultivate a ready ear? We can cultivate that ready ear by simply exercising restraint. Okay? Don't respond or don't say anything first until a person has finished speaking and expressing himself or herself. And you may use clarifying questions if you need. So if let's say a person shares, "I'm now going through this," or "I have a certain medical condition," if you don't understand, you ask clarifying questions to understand. "Oh, may I understand better, you know, when you express this, what do you mean?" Okay? So you ask questions to understand instead of just merely trying to respond to a person. And you may also try to summarize or rephrase to check your understanding, right? To see whether you have properly understood what the other person is sharing. So if let's say somebody has shared certain things, then he says, "All right, just to make sure that I understand you correctly, you know, is this what you are saying?" Then the person can say, "Yes, this is what I'm saying." Or the person may say that, no, that's not what I'm actually trying to say. You know, what I'm trying to say is this. Okay? So you seek to understand. And in all of this, be prayerful. Pray and ask the Lord to give you wisdom, to listen and to understand with love and with humility. Now, this is really, it must stem from a compassionate heart, right? So to cultivate a ready ear to listen, you know, don't just think about the techniques or what must you say if a person says this and then you respond in this way. It's not a mechanical thing. Really, it comes from a heart out of love, of care, right, of compassion. If you truly are compassionate, you love this person, then you want to understand how a person feels and understand what a person is going through. Right? That is how you can cultivate a ready ear. And so, really, there must be a lot of humility, okay, patience, and love in this ministry. And that's why, in a way, this ministry requires the spiritual gift, right, of hearing, of listening, of compassion, of understanding, and also knowing how to answer. Okay, the next question. So in visiting a person who is afflicted with illness and who is sharing about his afflictions, what are now examples of words that are fitly spoken and what are examples of words that may be unfitting, even if they are well intended? So words fitly spoken are words of comfort, encouragement, and compassion. And again, all this stems from selflessness. So you acknowledge, I think a very important part in listening and in counseling is actually to acknowledge that you have heard and understood what the person has shared. Now, you may express that, oh, I understand what you mean. I understand where you're coming from. I hear you. Right? These are very simple words, but very important words in helping a person know that you have heard and understood that person. Not necessarily understand everything that he feels, right? But at least to understand what he's expressing. Okay? So you must actually make a person feel heard and understood. And then you can express compassion without assuming that you're able to fully understand what a person is going through. Because no two persons' experience will always be the same. And that's something that we have to be very careful of. I'll point that out in a moment. You know, but you may express that compassion for that person sincerely, right? Again, all this must not be mechanical. Like you may really say, you know, I feel very sorry that you're going through this. You know, I really feel for you. Like you also express your care for that person. Like express that sympathy and compassion towards that person. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not sure whether it's a cultural thing that maybe we sometimes might feel, yeah, it sounds very weak, you know, if I try to express it in this way or something like that. But now you're simply expressing that care to that person, right? So there should not be any sense of pride or like, oh, yeah, this is very embarrassing, okay? You may say, you know, to express compassion, like, I cannot fully understand what you're going through, but this must be so difficult. You know, if you would like, you may share more. I will listen to you. Now I can be here to listen to you. I have the time. I may not be able to fully understand. I may not even be able to give you advice because this is a very difficult situation, but I'm here for you. Something like that. No, so you don't have to always feel that you must be able to solve every problem. Right? Fitting words are not words where you can solve every problem like you have the solution to every problem. Hey, but these are words of comfort, encouragement, and words that point a person to Christ, to the faithfulness of God, to His promises. Right? So you remind and share with the person the faithfulness of God, you know, the goodness of God, and again, you know, in the right time, and not in a way, you know, how you phrase certain things are very important. Don't phrase it as like some kind of an accusation, right? Don't you know that God is faithful? These kind of things, right? Actually, a good example would be to study the book of Job and see what not to do, right? How Job's friends made a lot of accusations against Job. Okay? And later, we know that Job's friends were not right because the Lord rebuked them. Okay? So don't follow what Job's friends did. You know, Job's friends actually are a good example of where they said the right thing, but in the wrong way. You know, their doctrine, their theology concerning the justice of God, for example, is right when you study the book of Job. Right? They understand, their understanding of God's justice is true, but they apply it wrongly. Right? And of course, there are some aspects where they have indeed wrong theology as well. And so, Job's friends are an example of what not to do. Okay? So you express compassion and remind a person of God's faithfulness and God's promises. Some examples of unfitting words in visitation, right, especially to a person who may be afflicted with illnesses, would be where you downplay their sufferings. Let's say a person shares, you know, I'm going through this, the doctor scanned this and then found this. They say, ah yeah, this is a small thing, lah, small problem, lah, don't worry about it. Right? Don't downplay a person. I know the intention may be you want to make a person feel better, but that may not actually be true or correct in the very first place, right? Because you don't know actually what exactly is going on. And so be very careful. Don't assume that you know what is going on. Or maybe you might have experienced this, right? You, let's say you have gone to a doctor and then you have done a checkup before and then this was the results. And then now this person has gone for this and then gone for a similar checkup and then the results seem similar. Then you say, ah yeah, this is a small thing. I also went through it and then it's a small thing. A bit of pain only, but not that painful. So it's a small thing, right? Because everyone's experience is different. Maybe for you, the degree of pain may be lesser simply by the mercies of God, but what the person may be experiencing may be very painful. And so be very careful, don't downplay and don't read your own experience into what the person is going through, right? And that's where we also have to be very careful not to, especially if you're not a medical professional, right? Don't try to prescribe certain things. Oh, you know, I tried this. So you have this problem, I also have this problem. I tried this, you know, and then it worked, you know. And then I bought this from don't know where, from Shopee and things like that. It worked, you try also. Okay? So if you're not a medical professional, this is not the right place or way to give medical advice. Okay? I mean, if you're a doctor and then the person asks you, then that's a different thing. But if you're not a medical professional, be very careful. Don't say, you know, I heard from this friend who tried this thing and this thing, you know, they just eat this and that, then okay, be very careful of these things. Especially if you don't know all the nuances or the real underlying conditions, you don't know the medical background, the medical history, these kind of things can be very dangerous and it is unwise. Okay? And be also very careful not to give false hope. You will surely recover. Right? Don't worry, this one, you will surely recover. God will heal you and then you'll be well. Right? Don't give false hope. You're not a prophet in that sense. Like Hezekiah and things like that, God sends the prophet. Okay? So be very careful of this. I mean, it may not be the Lord's purpose to heal a person. And we know that just because a person is not healed does not necessarily mean that it's a bad thing. Right? God has his purpose. Right? So rather you continue to encourage a person and say, I will pray for you. You know, I'm always here if you need a listening ear, you know, if you need any help, I will try my best to help. I can refer you to some people. Offer yourself. Make yourself available. Okay? But be very careful not to downplay, not to give certain advice. Sometimes, you know, in visitations, a person may not need advice. Now, if a person asks you, right, do you have an opinion? Do you have a thought regarding this? That's different. But sometimes a person wants to share, you know, and needs a listening ear, needs encouragement, not necessarily advice. You know, with regard to health issues, the person may already have medical professionals advising him. Right? He has already doctors who is advising him. So what he needs is encouragement, comfort, the promises of God. Right? So you must know your role in visitation. In this specific case, this specific scenario, it's of someone who is afflicted in the body. Okay? Now, the third question is a personal experience. Have you experienced words fitly spoken to you? I hope, I trust that all of us have experienced words that have been fitly spoken to us. So think back, how were those words spoken? What was that tone? How it encouraged you, or how it may be a reminder to you, how it may be a correction to you, or how even a person, you know, is just ready to hear. You know, so these are words fitly spoken. Sometimes it's just even the person being ready to hear at available time. You know, and I remember one experience was where one of my friends, he not only said, I will pray for you, but I have prayed for you. And that's something that always stuck with me. I remember that time I was in Kenya, and then I shared with this person, you know, some of the things that I'm going through, and then he messaged and then he replied, you know, thank you for sharing, and he says, I have prayed for you. You know, it was so comforting, because sometimes people say, I will pray for you, but you don't know whether they will pray for you, right? So when he says, I have prayed for you, rather may the Lord grant you wisdom and grace and strength to help you. And he didn't say much, he didn't actually give a lot of advice, but just simply, I have prayed for you. I remember it was something that really encouraged me, right, at that moment. So that this is one example of words fitly spoken. Right, you may have your own testimony, you know, of how others have also spoken words at the right time, with the right tone of voice, you know, when they understand what you're going through, you know, and these are not words to punish you or scold you, right? But words of compassion. Sometimes you need scolding, then they scold you also. Actually, those are also fitting words. But I mean, I think back now, my parents scolded me many times. Actually, those are fitting words. So I'm sure you have experienced all this, right? And these are good examples and testimonies that we can learn from, right? So this is a personal sharing question. I hope that you shared some of these testimonies for your encouragement. So how can we discern not only when to speak, but also what to speak, whether a person needs comfort, counsel, reminders, correction, or sometimes even to say nothing? That's what Proverbs 18 verse 13 says. Right? He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and shame to him. So hear, listen. I listen with understanding. Listen attentively. Listen with much prayer. You know, in conversation, sometimes we have our own perspectives. Right? Not even in just arguments, but just even in a conversation. So when a person starts sharing something, you to listen attentively is where you now try to understand that person's perspective, rather than trying to look at it from your perspective and say that person must share in my perspective, right? Now, it is our duty that when a person is sharing, we listen from that person's perspective, okay? And in knowing what to speak, how to speak, also after we listen, we are better able to understand what the person is going through, then we learn from the examples of Scripture, right, of Christ, how he ministered to different people, right, how godly men responded to different people, like how Daniel, you know, responded to the chief of the eunuchs. Right, even when he said, I cannot do this, you see the compassion, you see the mercies, right, of Daniel. And there are all these lessons that we can learn and discern. Right? That's where you need wisdom to discern whether what the person is sharing, is he asking for advice? Is he asking for guidance? Or is he expressing grief? That's different. Right? So you need to recognize the difference. If he's just expressing the grief, it may not be the place for advice. If he's asking for advice, it may not be the right time to keep silent. Right? But sometimes, the less said, the better, right? Especially in vigil services. You know, usually when the bereaved family, sometimes before the vigil service, when I talk to them, they may be sharing, right? They may share how they feel, right? And sometimes the less said, the better. You know, where you say that, you know, I will pray for you, it's really a difficult time. And of course, you must really mean it, I will pray for you. Right? And you know, I empathize with you, I feel for you. But don't try to, you know, make things better. Like, don't tell a person how he or she should feel at that time. You know, you should not feel so sad because there's hope, right? You should not say that. I mean, it's true that there's hope, but it's normal and natural for a person to grieve, especially in the loss of a loved one, right? So you don't tell a person, you should not feel so sad, you know? And why are you weeping in this way if there's hope? This is not the right time for rebuke. And so when a person shares, listen and be sensitive to how a person feels. Because we need a lot of prayer, right? Because in another situation, it may be if a person is wallowing in self-pity, right? If a person is so inward-looking, right? And then now just, I'm so sad, my life is so miserable, so miserable, so miserable, and then so full of thoughts of self. Sometimes a person may need that rebuke. Like, Job needed that rebuke at the end, right? God rebuked Job because Job was not trusting in the sovereignty of God. And so God had to teach Job his own sovereignty. So really, there's no one size fit all, right? There's no like logic tree. Oh, if a person says this, now you respond this. If you respond that, you respond this. If you respond that, then you respond. There's no such tree. So you have to really pray for wisdom. But every scenario, every person is different, and ask the Lord for help to know how to answer at the right time. Okay, so these are the discussions for us. Any questions, anyone? I'm not sure when I'm supposed to take questions, but in case anyone of you have any questions. I mean, since this is a seminar, so. Okay. If no questions, then I pass the time to I'll close in prayer. Okay, let's close this time in prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the visitation ministry and this ministry that Thou has established, that Thou has also prescribed in Thy Word. And we pray that Thou will grant us Thy grace and Thy wisdom, even as we go forth to the various homes and where we minister to others. Grant us always Thy wisdom, Thy grace, and the words to speak, to know how to say it, to know when to say it, that it might build one another up. And not only in the visitation ministry, but even in our lives, may Thou grant us wisdom in the choice and in the use of our words. May our words stem from loving hearts, hearts of compassion, and may our words reflect the words of Christ. May our words be kind and gracious, and may our words also be firm and to correct when necessary. Help us, O Lord, and we thank Thee for how we have Thy precious word that continues to guide us even in the use of our words. May we always be sensitive to the prompting of Thy Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for this time that Thou hast given to us. May Thou help us to remember Thy word and grant us Thy grace even in applying and obeying Thy word. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask and pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.